Since we have a number of people being baptized and uniting with our church today, before we look at God's Word, I thought it would be encouraging to you to kind of give you a window into the heart of Cherrydale. And we've asked different people in each service to come and share how they're growing in Christ, making friends here at Cherrydale, so you can see what's really happening. And in this service, we've asked Jim and Ariel Lively to come and share their story. Please welcome them.
Good morning, Cherrydale. My name is Jim Lively, and this is my best friend, and God allowed me to marry my best friend, Ariel. We've been married for a little over 3 years. We've been coming to Cherrydale for about 18 months. And really healthy friendships started early for us. Those of you that know Wally Birdseye, if you run into him in the hallway, immediately you've got a healthy friendship. So that started with us, and he literally walked us into the young married class, set us down, and told us to stay. So that started our healthy friendships. But it's important as we look at, you know, Cherrydale's theme of know, grow, and go, and now how the healthy friendships have walked us through that. We when we came to Cherrydale, I had just returned from a year deployment to Iraq. A lot of folks have done that. I left for Iraq about 2 months after we were married. So our first year of marriage, I was deployed. So we came back, and then our first real year of marriage was here at Cherrydale. And we immediately were able to create some phenomenal friendships and begin to know him as a couple. We'd both been saved for many years, but knowing him as a couple and what that means in our spiritual life was significant. So we began to know him more. We joined the Sunday school class, the Sunday Bible study, and we began to grow through small groups. Those of you that have not joined a small group, I highly recommend it. It's a phenomenal way to invest in those heavenly and biblical friendships, which has really been meaningful for us as we have matured as a couple. So after about a year of doing the small group and growing and knowing, God says it's time to go. So we had an opportunity recently to step up and be a small group leader for our group, and that's been a real blessing for us as well, and God has continued to minister to us. Particularly important has been the study of wisdom, which the pastor has been leading us through. Our small group decided to study the book of James, which obviously deals a great bit on wisdom, and particularly applying the discipline of applying God's truth to our life. And that's been very important to my wife and I as we look at circumstances with work, with our finances. We've just joined the Crown Financial Ministry, another opportunity here through friendships and through mentorship, the newlywed class we participated in. And it's all been the church body here and godly friendships that have really ministered to us. So we just want to praise the Lord and give him the glory for how Cherrydale has allowed us to know him more, to grow, and then opportunities to go and serve him faithfully. So thank you.
Amen. Well done. Thank you. Thank you. And it's Ariel. Sorry for saying your name wrong, but glad you're here. I'd like you to open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, John chapter 15. And if you look in your bulletin, take out the insert. It says at the top, "Godly wisdom attracts healthy friendships." Now, if you need a Bible, raise your hand. We'll make sure you get one. We're in John chapter 15, beginning in verse 12. And let's take a moment and pray together, and we'll prepare our hearts to hear God's word. Oh, Lord, we thank you that you love us, that you long to be our best friend through Christ. And we pray that you'd open our minds and our hearts to understand and live in light of your word today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Aristotle, the Greek philosopher and the student of Plato and the teacher of Alexander the Great, said, "Without friendships, no one would choose to live, even if they had all the other good things in life." He was tapping into a truth that is woven into the fabric of every human being. Everybody wants and needs healthy friendships. And here's why that's true. Because we are created in the image of a triune God. And God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have had an eternal love relationship, an eternal friendship with one another forever. And when we were created, it was to extend the circle of love. We are created in the image of an us, a triune God. We are made for relationships. Therefore, we need healthy friendships. National Institute of Health has done many extensive studies on the power of a healthy friendship. Healthy friendships infuse life into you physically, mentally, socially, every other way. They've also discovered people without healthy friendships. In our culture, where loneliness is epidemic, it does great damage to you. It can literally kill you. Now, Proverbs has one up on the National Institute of Health because it tells you how to be and how to attract healthy friendships. And the book of Proverbs is always talking about the fool and the wise person. And according to Proverbs, the fool is out of touch with reality. But the wise person embraces truth, embraces reality. And one truth that Proverbs tells us over and over again is that your friends will make or break your life. Absolutely essential to know that. Face that reality. For example, look at the top of your notes. Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Friends walk together. Friends are companions. C.S. Lewis, in his essay on friendship, says that friends ask, "What? You too? You have the same interest, same values I do?" That brings friends together. You discover it, and then the relationship grows. Friendship is built around a common core value. And if you're walking with a biblical fool, it will destroy you. But if you have wise friends, it makes all the difference in the world. Now, Proverbs doesn't leave us wondering, so what does a wise friend look like? It gives us five traits of a healthy friend. This is a wise friend. This is the kind of friend we're called to be. And if we are that, that's the kind of friend we will attract. As we go through this, don't listen saying, "Man, I wish I had that kind of friend." Listen saying, "I want to be that kind of friend." And that's what you'll attract. Now, I can tell you parents, your children need to know these five traits. Write them down, memorize them, make it a priority. They need to know how to attract and have healthy friendships. And Cherrydale family, our whole existence as a church and our ability to fulfill our mission is built on whether we take seriously and walk in these five traits as a healthy friend. Now, this is so important, and I have little time today because of so many other things going on. I brought something with me. Would you read the front of this box? It says, "A healthy friend is." Well, I'm glad you asked. You want to know what a healthy friend is? Because in here, I have object lessons so that you won't forget the five marks of a healthy friend. The first thing I have in here is Elmer's glue. Write down the word committed. A healthy friend is committed to you and you to them. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times, but a brother is born for adversity. Now, your family, your brother, sister, and you're in adversity, they may help you out, but they may not even like you. But a friend, a true friend, is with you through thick and thin. They're always there. Someone put it this way, when they can see through you, they're still with you. Proverbs 18:24, a man with too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Too many friends, they become superficial. Friends may be there pretending to be friends, but they really have an agenda to use you. And there can be unhealthy friends. Unhealthy friends are those kind of friends that they're always, always positive. They don't know how to respond to anything negative. Or they overcling to you. They don't know the boundaries. A healthy friend is committed to you through thick and thin. Second mark of a healthy friend, I have deodorant in here. They're considerate. They are considerate. That makes the point, doesn't it? They're considerate. A healthy friend can read you and your needs, and they know how to respond accordingly. Look at Proverbs 27:14. He who blesses his friend with a loud voice early in the morning will be reckoned a curse to him. That he's not in tune with you. He's only in tune with his stuff. And so unhealthy friends are those who don't connect with you emotionally. They don't know how to read you. They're always crossing boundaries. A healthy friend is considerate. A healthy friend, this is a key, keeps confidences. Your secrets are under lock and key. They're safe. That's the mark of a healthy friend. They can keep confidences. Listen to this. If somebody will gossip to you, count on it. They will gossip about you. Count on it. Some people take pleasure in getting juicy little tidbits just to pass it along. Not healthy friends. When we were newlyweds, my wife was a new mother in Portland, Oregon, 3,100 miles from our family. She needed a friend. And she looked for a woman in the church that was trustworthy, that would keep her mouth shut. And she found one. And she became her friend. And to this day, her secrets are secure. That's a true friend. Next thing we have in the box, a friend is candid. He'll put the mirror in your face, make you look at the truth. Take a look, face it. See, a true friend cares more about your welfare than they care about the tension that may occur if they tell you the truth. They're willing to go through the tunnel, suffer the consequences, because they care so much about you, you've got to know the truth. Bob Glahn is our executive pastor. He's one of my closest friends. We've been working together 20 years. Our gifts are totally different. But you know what Bob is good at? Totally committed to me, but look in the mirror. And I do it to him. I hate it when that happens. But it's good. That's what real friendships do. They are candid with each other. Lastly, constructive. True friends build the relationship. It's very constructive. We're in the process of building a new facility. And my prayer as we build it and move in January, late January, hope we're debt free, is that we will never forget it's not about the building. It's just a tool so that people can come together and be built up in Christ. That is what a true friend looks like. In Ephesians, Paul uses a beautiful analogy. I've been to Ephesus, great ruins. You can walk through the city of ancient Ephesus. And in Ephesians 2:21, he says, in Christ, he's building us as a temple and we're fitly framed together. And he was using a word that the Ephesians would understand. The way they built some of those buildings that still are standing 2,000 years later, they would make these columns without any mortar, is they would get a large piece of marble, get some men on it, large piece of marble, men on it, and they would rub them together. It would create heat and friction, but eventually they would fit perfectly and build a great temple that has stood for 2,000 years. That's what Jesus does. He puts you in the family with people different from you, and I'm telling you, you rub each other, but eventually in Christ you fit and you build a strong temple. It's constructive. Now, we've just been exposed to an ideal friend. There are two things that you may have as a response. This is how it affected me. Number one, it created a longing in me. Did you notice that going on with you? Did you kind of think, man, I wish I had a friend like that. That would be awesome. It did something else. It's crushing. It made me face the truth. I have not been that kind of friend always. I've screwed up. I'm self-centered. I've messed it up. This is where the gospel makes all the difference. That longing for an ideal friend, that facing my own sinfulness that crushes me, the solution is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because in Christ, my longing for the ideal friend is perfectly fulfilled. You will never find a friend like Jesus, ever. If you want a friend that fulfills all five of these, you'll only find it in Jesus. He's a perfect friend. He fulfills the longing. But here's the best part. Jesus, when you put your faith in Him, He gives you a brand new identity. You are now declared righteous. You're forgiven. You're the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. You're reconciled to God. And He gives you the power that you've lacked to be the kind of friend that you ought. Jesus fulfills exactly what we need. Now I ask you to turn to John chapter 15, and let's look at it quickly. John 15, verse 12 and verse 17 are like bookends on this text. And on each end, He commands us, love one another. And then in the middle, He tells us how that becomes possible. How do we become these kind of friends that love each other? He says, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. The only friend you'll ever have who's willing to go to the cross and take your hell for you is Jesus. He laid down his life for you. And then he rose from the grave. He gave us a whole new identity. And here's what a friend always does. This is the summary of a true friend. A true friend always takes you in and never lets you down. Jesus takes you in. I'm stretching out my arms to you. I'm willing to be so committed to you, I'll take your hell for you. I'll die for your sins. And I'll never let you down. You put your faith in me, you have a total new identity. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. And then I'll put you in a family of other Christ followers. And here's what will happen to you. You will rub up against people you would have never had any common interest in. But because of Christ, you will come together. And I chose you as my friend, put you in my family so that I can build a holy temple so you'll fit. And you'll build a beautiful community. Now this past Thursday, we had another luncheon for the construction workers on expanding our facility. We do it every few months. We had more new workers than ever, 33 burly guys sitting up in the Besley room. We always feed them really good, and they cleaned it all out, and we give them goodie bags with Jesus films, and we always have them hear somebody's story. And this time, Carlos's brother, Ronald, shared his story. You could hear a pin drop. And Ronald, who's a strong man, stood up. He gave me permission to share this story because it touched me so deeply. And he was crying. There's a man in front of men. And he shared his story. He said, when I was a young boy, my best friend was assassinated. It crushed me. And then our father abandoned the family. And that crushed me. And then it caused me to look inward. And I started living for Ronald. That became my God. And I became a professional soccer player. Went to the Olympics. I got married. I had a good business. But I was living for Ronald. And because of my pride and my self-centeredness, I lost everything. But I had a brother, Carlos, who loves Jesus. So I called him up. And my brother stuck close to me. I moved back to Virginia. They're living together now. And he pointed him to Christ. And he brought him to this church. You know what Ronald said about you? I love you for this. He said, I found people that really love me. And they welcomed me like a brother. They welcomed me into the family. And then he said, I heard Pastor King say one day that my heart is an idol factory. And I realized he's talking about me. I need Jesus to be the treasure of my heart. And I found him. And now I found life and I have a purpose and friends who are supporting me in it. That's what this is all about. Now let's put this all together. Let's see how well you learn this. I'm going to hold them up. You're going to tell me what these stand for. This stands for a friend is committed. A friend is considerate. A friend is confidential. A friend is candid. A friend is constructive. Now, the best part, the best friend you'll ever get is the one who died for you and rose again. He puts it all together. And here's what I want to say to our Cherrydale family. We ought to know these five things, have them fulfilled in Christ, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, live it out with each other. And if we do, we will stand out like a beacon of light. Let me tell you, we're in the capital of the rat race. People are lonely. And we want every person that shows up here and is connected with this church family to say, I'm at home. I found true friends. It's only true in Christ. Everybody said?
Amen.
Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are our best friend. You invite us to be your best friend. And you change us. You give us a new identity and the power of the Holy Spirit to live it out so that we can be the kind of friend we ought and then attract the kind of friends we ought. Lord, help us to live out our vision to spread a passion to love God and people above all else. In Jesus' name, amen.